Welcome to another celebration of life's second acts. This is Reset, 40 is the new happy. I'm Mike Morin, and today you're going to meet a man who proves the saying that when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Or chocolate. Kevin Miller did just that after suffering a life-threatening health event, and he continues to recover from today. Kevin is the founder of KRM Chocolates of Salem, gourmet chocolates made to order. He also serves as an adjunct instructor at Southern New Hampshire University. All right, so Kevin, let's begin with, you know, the beginning, of course, your career as an insurance underwriter. Was it a job that you loved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was an insurance underwriter for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. What I really loved about it was the fact that as an underwriter, every account that I look at is completely different. So there's always something to learn. So today I'm looking at restaurants. Tomorrow I'm looking at auto repair shops. The next day I'm looking at something else. So as a result, you'll learn something about an entire myriad of different industries. And that's really what keeps the profession interesting for us.
All right, so let's go back to the day that your life changed forever when you suffered a stroke.
Yes. Well, if I can actually back up for, say, a couple of weeks, if I can. It was probably early December in 2011, and I happened to be doing something, and all of a sudden I noticed, like, sort of an aura, if you will. Now I know it was an aura, but at the time it was, you know how when you kind of look up in the sky and you see the sun and you kind of get all these like spots in your eyes? I saw that. I said, wow, this is really weird. But I wasn't looking that direction. I was looking at the wall and I saw it. And I really didn't think much of it. And then later on in the day, I had this unbelievable headache. And again, I certainly didn't make any connection. I was at work. And I said, boy, you know, I have to kind of make a mental note that next time when I have my next physical, mention this to the doctor, maybe I'm developing migraines. I don't know. But eventually it went away, and I didn't think anything of it. And then about a week or two later, it happened again. Again, I saw these spots, didn't think anything of it. I had this tremendous headache, and this time it didn't really go away, but I'm at work. You know, you just have to work through it. So I went out for lunch. What I usually do, I was working in an office in downtown Boston. I went out and bought myself a salad, and I usually come back and sit in my office and put on, you know, put the newspaper online and sit and eat my lunch and, you know, read the paper online. So I'm walking back to my office, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, said, excuse me, you dropped something. Oh, thank you. I turned around. I had dropped my lunch on the sidewalk. Absolutely no idea that it had left my hand. And I was on the ground. Just kept walking. Picked it up, went back, put the newspaper on, sitting there reading the paper, eating my lunch. And then a little while later, I had I had lost my cell phone. Couldn't find it. And I'm looking around all over the floor. So where the heck is it? Went to the person in the office next to me. I said, you know, I can't seem to find my cell phone. Can you help me with it? Sure. It's right there next to me. Picked it up. Sorry. Oh, geez. Sorry. His name was also Kevin. Interesting. Thank you very much. And then my computer, like, went dead. Couldn't get it going. It was like, couldn't reboot it. Nothing worked. Couldn't figure out how to do this. And I was really getting agitated, as you can imagine, because everything's getting frustrated. And then the woman in the office on the other side of me said to me, Kevin, your wife's been trying to call you for like over an hour. Give her a call. She says, you don't answer your phone. Oh, so I call her up. I said, hi, what's going on? She said, I've been trying to call you. I said, oh, I lost my phone. I can't get this thing going. I'm just going crazy here. She says, Kevin, I think there's something wrong. I was in downtown Boston. She says, Kevin, hey, I think you should just dial 911 and tell them there's something going on. Let them come get you and take you over to Mass General. No, I'm fine. I'm not going to do that. Kevin, I think you should do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Hung up, called back later. Kevin, there's something going on. Call 911 and let them come get you. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go home. You can meet me in Andover and we can go to the doctor after that, but I'm going to come home first, which I did. And, of course, she had no idea if I even got on the right bus to come home. So she said, give me a call when you get on the bus. I called her and said, I'm on the bus. I'm on my way home. We hung up, and she said to herself, I don't know, is he on the bus to Cape Cod? Who knows? Who knows where he is? And then, of course, I couldn't figure out how to work my phone. I got off the bus in Andover. And she was there. My son was waiting for me at the bus station down in Andover. And she said, Kevin, I'm taking you straight to the hospital. So I just told my son, Sam, you take my car, follow. So I have two cars. And we're driving to the hospital. And I started getting that kind of that classic stroke. I couldn't talk. I was like slurring my words. And she said, Kevin's having a stroke, or he's really sick, and now she's saying, let's make it to the hospital before something happens. I finally said, I love you. And she said, if he's saying that, there's really something wrong. We get to the hospital, went to Holy Family in Methuen, and we pull up, and I learned that day, you know how when you go to the emergency room, and you sit there for hours and hours and hours. The magic words are chest pain or stroke. So I think my husband's having a stroke. They come running. It's like, you know, do not pass go. They put me in a wheelchair, brought me right in. And I don't really remember what happened after that. I don't know if I passed out or, it's kind of a blur after that. Next thing I remember was hours later, and my sister was in the hospital room. She came in to see me. You know, my wife called my sister, and she was living in Lexington. She came up here and saw me in the hospital, and that's kind of a blur after that for probably a couple of days, really. And I was in the hospital, and they took me, they brought me down for MRIs and all kinds of tests. And they decided that yes, it was a stroke, and it was actually a pretty serious stroke. I don't know if you want me to describe it.
Well, no, you've really actually given a very good story of what it's like to go through it, and then I'm sure you're grateful every day that you survived it, as is your family, and seem to be doing remarkably well. So you're at home and you're recovering, and at what point do you decide that you want to do chocolate for a business, because you'd been a hobbyist for quite a while?
Sure. I had been making chocolate actually for a number of years, also just for fun. Mm-hmm. And, I'd bring them into the office for holiday gifts and whatnot, that sort of thing. And that was really about it. And so while I was recovering, not long after I had the stroke, a friend of mine who I grew up with, I'm from Revere, grew up with, and he lives out in Los Angeles now. He called, and my wife went on, he's a physical therapist. He called up, and he said to Eunice, my wife, said, you know, when your brain starts putting itself back together, it's going to be different than it was before. And you may find that you have, like, some talents that you didn't have before. So experiment. I mean, you're home anyway. Try things. See what happens. So my wife said to me, well, you're pretty good at this, at making chocolate. Why don't you see what you can do? So I started doing it, and I was playing with it, coming up with some different combinations. And eventually she said to me, look, at this point, you certainly have nothing to lose. I have a business, I have an MBA. I have a business degree. At this point, you're just sitting in front of the TV. Why don't you try starting a business? At this point, there's nothing to lose. Go for it. So I did. And here I am. So it worked.
Always nice to have family support for something like this. So talk about the kind of satisfaction you get from creating a product that many people love.
Well, just the mere fact that people actually are willing to pay for it is certainly a big plus. And the fact that not only are they willing to pay for it, which kind of doing as opposed to just doing me a favor and buying, and that they actually enjoy it and actually want to come back for more is really fabulous. Fabulous. And also the fact that for the first time in my life, I actually have the ability to make all my own decisions on this. I decide what I want to do, as opposed to having to answer to somebody else saying, this is what you have to do. I said, you know, this is my thing to work on. This is my house to build, if you know what I mean. And it gave me the ability to work on it and kind of see all the building blocks come together, if you follow me. And really, I really credit my rehabilitation to all this. Because when I first started this, 2 years ago, when I first started it, I made a complete mess of what was going on. So I would forget things. I'd spill it on the floor. You know, it would come out lousy. It would come out not looking good. It was really a complete mess. And I could only do so many before I just got completely flustered and couldn't do it. But as time went by, you keep doing it, and eventually the brain cells start aligning in the right direction, that eventually it started to work. And I started seeing things happen. And now, every time I go to make something, I'm always experimenting. I'm always either trying a new method to do what I want to do, or trying to come up with a new idea and see how it goes. So, as an example, about 6 or 8 months ago, the Nashua Telegraph had a wine and cheese fest. And they contacted me. I don't know how they found me, but they contacted me and invited me to come down and sell my chocolates. Absolutely. I said, let's do something special. Let's say that whenever we have something special, we come up with a new product. So I came up with, I found all of these different kinds of berries. I said, let's mix it all together and see how it tastes. We tried it. My wife and I tried it. This is really great stuff. I said, let's try it. So we made it, had to come up with a name for it. I said, what? It's berries, dark chocolate berries. Let's call it high antioxidant. and I'm gonna market it as almost but not really a health food. Because it is chocolate. It's not a health food. It is chocolate, but it's almost a health food.
Well, you know, you put the antioxidant in there, and it's almost a tip of the hat to, of course, you know, related to your condition, which is heart and arterial health.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I don't push that too much, because I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, that I'm trying to sell something that I'm not. That it's, you know. Right. So I just tell them it's almost a health food. Right. And we made it, and of course, because it was an experiment, we only made so many of them, and I got to tell you, they sold out in about 10 minutes, and we started taking orders for this. And right now, it is my biggest seller. We can't make it fast enough.
Before we wrap up, by the time people hear this, the Deerfield Fair may be over, but you decided to take a booth this year at one of the highest traffic fairs in New England. I mean, that's a huge step. So you continue to push yourself and grow, which is all part of the rehab process, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm always trying to do something new, and I'm always trying to push myself. Last week, I kind of pushed one of my limits. I was when I go to my kitchen to make my chocolate, I'm rarely there for more than 4 hours. But one day last week, because of the fair, because I'm really trying to load up for it, I was there for about 5.5 hours. And after like the 5 hours, I knew that I had reached my limit. All of a sudden, I started making mistakes. I started dropping things on the floor. I said, I'm here too long. Time to clean up and get out of here. So I learned my limit, but now I've got a new goal to push far, to push that and do some more. And the fair is going to be my biggest test. You know, it's 4 14-hour days in a row. So the first thing is get through that. And then from there, I know if I can do that, then really I've hit, for want of a better term, the pinnacle of where I am so far. And then I'll have new ones.
So for a man who less than 4 years ago was almost completely, well, probably was completely just in really bad shape, has worked his way back to this point. As we close, Kevin, maybe give a little advice to those with disabling or debilitating situations as you had, so that they have some hope that they could turn things around and actually make that lemonade or chocolate out of lemons.
Oh, there is always something new that you can do. I went back to teaching probably way before I should have. And when I first started, I had problems there. I'd be lecturing, and all of a sudden, mid-sentence, I would just zone out and lose it. But you keep doing it, and you keep pushing yourself, and it does come back, and you do get better and better at it. And, you know, there's always a new, for want of a better term, a new horizon to shoot for. And they do come, and every one is a victory, and that's really what it's all about.
Kevin Miller, founder of KRM Chocolates of Salem. Look for him at the Deerfield Fair if you hear this before the, I believe it's the 5th of October. And Kevin, a great story of inspiration. I have a feeling you've got a long way to go to new horizons.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And by all means, come by the fair and look for us. Thank you.